chapter 4. The thought I want to look at tonight is found here. It says, being past feeling. You ever get past feeling? That's a dangerous place to be. Ephesians 4, let's start in verse 17. He's talked about, prior to this, about the church, you know, and the purpose of it. You know, he gave some apostles, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and all that purpose, and all working together in the unity of faith and so forth, and the whole body fitly joined together. And then he says, verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So there's a warning here. We need to be careful about something. How do Gentiles walk? In the vanity of their mind. We looked at this morning. Through faith, we understand. God gives us something by faith. But the Gentiles, they simply walk in the vanity of their mind. This is the sum total of their belief system. It's got to fit here. It comes from here. The vanity of their mind. There's nothing outside of themselves that the world looks at as their authority, as their rule, as their guide. It's the vanity of their mind. And he says, we as believers need to be careful of that thing. Walking in the vanity of the mind. Having the understanding darkened. The switch hasn't been turned on. The light hasn't been diffused by the Spirit of God. The key, faith, has not been turned in the lock to open the eyes of their understanding. It's darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them. That's the Gentiles. He says, don't be like that. Don't be shut off from the light. The understanding that God gives us. Don't be restricted to the vanity of your mind. Don't lean on your own understanding. And then he goes on, because of the blindness of their heart. You think about just the idea of where did it all begin? Where did the world come from? There's a blindness there. Science is supposed to be open to all possibilities. True science doesn't rule anything out until it has been proven to be false. God can't be proven false. But they have ruled him out. They start with the premise there is no God. The blindness of their heart. Because they choose not to believe that God did it. And it's really ridiculous. You know, and I've come to the conclusion that it's actually simple mathematics proves that evolution is wrong. Because zero plus zero always equals zero. And the evolutionists start with a premise that somehow you took nothing and you added nothing to it and you got something else besides nothing as a result. Simple mathematics disproves the Big Bang Theory, all the scientific explanations for the origin of the universe. In fact, many of them anymore, many evolutionists anymore, refuse to discuss origins because they know they can't deal with it. Well, I don't, you know, science hasn't answered that yet. So we want to start here. But how can you start here when you haven't answered how you got here? And I always try to bring them back to in the beginning. You've got to start with something. God. But that their it's the blindness of their heart, their understanding is darkened and so forth. And then verse 9, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's where the Gentiles have gone, to the point of being past feeling. No sense, no feeling for things. What a dangerous place that is to be. Past feeling. But Paul is giving this as a warning to us. You know, this I say therefore, verse 17, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Sometimes I think we Christians can get to that point of being past feeling. Uncaring about some things. Uncaring about some people. We have made up our mind about somebody. I've been guilty of this. And you get to the point where I could care less. I'm not going to witness that person. I'm not going to pray for that person. Past feeling. Be careful, Christian, that we don't get past feeling. Let's read on here. Just basically read down through the rest of the chapter. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. As a child of God, I never need to be past feeling to give up on somebody, to write them off. If so be that you, verse 21, that you have heard of him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, things we need to get rid of in our lives, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's that idea of replacement. You don't fill, you just leave a void. As Jesus said, you know, the demons are cast out and they find the thing garnished and swept and they bring back others, and the end of that man is worse than the first state. There's a principle here of replacement. You put something off and you put something on in its place. Put off concerning the former conversation, old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Watch out for that anger. Is it wrong to be angry? No. It's how you deal with it. You know, it's what makes you angry and how you deal with it. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. See that replacement thing? Working with his hands, that which is good, that you may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. There's one that gets us a lot, isn't it? Yeah. It says in Colossians, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. No corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's something Brother Stauffer is good about. Just, I mean, the first, you know, I picked him up at the airport. We went, stopped at the diner there in State College to get some breakfast, and just the way he interacted with that waitress and stuff, you know, it was just always grace. You know, that edifying for a purpose to try to witness. But watch, we need to watch our speech. And then he follows that with, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. These things grieve the Spirit of God. The anger of sin, or that leads to sin and gives place to the devil. Stealing, the corrupt communication in our out of our mouths. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know what happens when you get past feeling? Not only are you grieving the Spirit, but you quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I think it's verse 18. Is that right? The quenching of the Spirit. Because the Spirit's trying to bring conviction about something. You're not doing right. And we, our conscience becomes seared as with a hot iron. We don't want that feeling. We don't want that conviction. Grieving's one thing, quenching it's the next step. Verse 31, let all bitterness. Oh, but you don't know what they did to me. Doesn't matter. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Even when they don't deserve it. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I didn't deserve it. But God forgave me. And so he says, that's what I want you to do. Be forgiving. With the edifying words and the laboring with your hands that which is good to give to him that needeth, and not grieving the Holy Spirit of God, so that we don't become past feeling, that we're not touched by the plight, the struggle, the difficulties, the sins of ourselves or others. Just a little thought there. Amen? I have a letter from the 10th.